Welcome to the Occult London Podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics. In this new episode series, we are exploring the symbolism and mysteries of the tarot trumps in relation to the Western mystery tradition. Each week, we will be looking at a different tarot card. These are meant to be short introductions, so will not be an exhaustive examination of each card, but rather a taster to get you started and thinking. If you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show and also follow what we're getting up to. So let's get started. So today's episode, we are looking at the tarot card known as the Star, which is Path 28, the Path of Tsadi. Now, to use the Greer attributions, so over the period, over the last few episodes, we have been, before we begin the main bulk of the episode, we have been reading out the correspondences from John Michael Greer's excellent book, Paths of Wisdom. So we'll do that now. So in terms of the letter of the path, it is Tsadi, which means fish hook. The name of God is Jehovah, or the Tetragrammaton. The astrological correspondence is Aquarius, the water carrier. The tarot correspondence is the Star. The esoteric title is Daughter of the Firmament, Dweller Between the Waters. The Yetziratic text is the 28th path is called the Natural Intelligence, and by it the nature of all that exists beneath the sun is completed and perfected. The mythological principle is Awakening of the Heart. The experience of the path is forests, meadows, and other scenes of vegetation seen by night, mist, starlight, boundaries between land and water, and between opposites. Entities of the path include nature spirits, birds, and animals of the night. The magical image of the path is an arch of violet bearing the letter Tsadi in brilliant white. The colours of this path, in Atzeluth, it is violet, in Bria, it is sky blue, Yetzira is bluish mauve, and Isaiah is white tinged with purple. So now that we've been through the correspondences, I just wanted to go through some of the key points from a Kabbalistic perspective that would be relevant to consider when we talk about this path. So as we know, the path of Tsadi connects the sphere of Netzach and Yesod, and it's a key component of the astral triad. So this is very important, for it's through the action of the Star that the lower personality begins to see the higher self represented by the individuality in Tiferet. So as Dion Fortune said, the four Sephiroth below Tiferet represent the personality or lower self. The four Sephiroth above Tiferet are the individuality or higher self. And Keter is the divine spark or nucleus of manifestation. And that is from the mystical Kabbalah. So the 28th path can be seen as a channel of inspiration from that higher self that helps us to find our real purpose and realize that each one of us is a star in our own right. As it's written in the excellent book on the tarot, the Star is the arcanum of growth, just as the 16th arcanum is that of construction. Therefore, it is a matter now of a spiritual exercise devoted to growth, i.e. it is time for us to concentrate on the problem of growth and to meditate on its essential aspects with a view to arriving at a contemplation of its kernel or its mystical, Gnostic, magical, metaphysical essence. And that is from Anonymous Meditations on the Tarot. So we need to heed the call of growth and obviously, you know, work on our personalities so that they reflect the higher self above. And I think this is what Gareth Knight meant when he writes the following. The personality should be a simulacrum of the individuality in the developed person. In other words, that which is below should be as that which is above in accordance with the Hermetic axiom. That's from the Practical Guide to Kabbalistic Symbolism, Volume 2. As we've seen, the Hebrew letter for this path is Zadi, which is fish hook, and it's also known as the path of meditation. Meditation, as we know, is the act of stilling the mind in order to obtain knowledge from within. And without meditation, it's nigh on impossible to make any spiritual progress. As Robert Wang writes in his excellent book, the letter Zadi means fish hook, implying meditation, a process closely linked with the use of imagination. In these terms, meditation is described not as taking out of something, but as a putting in, merging of two streams of individual consciousness with the greater consciousness. And while this is a path of primal intuition, the vessels represent a separation and then a reintegration of the Chokhmah force, feelings and intuition at this level, and Bina force, intellect. The symbol of the fish hook in meditation is easily extended to the tree of life. The hook, Zadi, the star, is put into the waters of Mem, the hanged man, to catch the fish, Nun, death. Water is again a symbol of consciousness. As we experiment with meditation and imaginative visualization, casting ourselves into the universal sea, we seek an understanding of the very processes of life and death. Case has an interesting point to make on this front when he says the following. Meditation is really a function of the ego, which raises to the conscious level the powers of the automatic consciousness of Yesod. However much it may seem to us at first that meditation is a personal activity, when we really succeed in meditation, we discover that what happens is not that we meditate, but rather that we are meditated. Pretty mind-blowing stuff, eh? So what I think he's talking about is that the higher self is actually calling us to do meditation. The fish hook in this context is us throwing our hook into the dark ocean to find the ship that is the higher self, but also the higher self is throwing its line right back at us. So when we feel like we want to meditate, that's actually a calling from our higher self meditating us, which I think is a fantastic idea. Moving on to the astrological side. So obviously the astrological side of this sign is the planet Venus, which is traditionally known as the morning star, or Lucifer, Lightbringer. And in this context, Lucifer should not really be seen as being something as evil, but rather a bringer of light to humanity. And also, again, could be seen as a representation of the higher self. Moving on to some of the mythological gods and goddesses of the path. You know, there's lots of different ones that we can have here. So obviously from Egyptian pantheon, we've got Isis as being like this goddess of the stars, Neptis, Nuit. Celtic mythology, you've got Bridget, Rose Myrta and Evita. Greek, we could look at, again, Artemis would fit quite well here again as being, you know, this archer that goes towards the stars, Hestia as well. So there's lots of different mythological sides to this particular one. And you could also look at it from the perspective of, you know, archetypes that are fishermen as well. So obviously from Christian, you could look at Jesus, the fisherman. You could also look at other ones like Anfortas, so the fisher king, obviously has some relevance there in terms of he's always fishing, he's looking, using the fish hook to find that inner star, that grail, that light. That's all we've got time for today. I hope everyone's enjoyed this episode of the Occult London podcast. Please visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show, and also please check us out on Facebook and also YouTube if you type in Occult London podcast. Hope everyone has a great evening, and thanks very much for listening.